Well, I'd like to share on a word that very often seems to come by experience or by trial, or the Lord allows or permits you to go through these things in which to preach it. But for those again taking notes this morning, taskmasters of the 21st century. Taskmasters of the 21st century. Turn with me if you will, because the Bible always confirms what the powers of darkness try to do. And remember that whatever the powers of darkness try to do, there's nothing new under the sun. The enemy's tried it before. So, of course, we're reminded, aren't we, in Exodus. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Exodus. Chapter 1 we'll start off with. And we'll take it up from verse 8. Now, what was it that caused the children of Israel to be released from that situation and to be taken and drawn unto God to offer up a true sacrifice? What was it that actually got their attention? Was it because they were in Egypt in bondage? I don't actually think so. Was it because they had no food? They were absolutely starving? No, we don't actually get that illustration either. So here they are, they're amongst pagan gods, pagan worship. Was that disturbing them, upsetting them? I don't actually think it was. Very interesting, isn't it, when you read these things? And those sort of things that I've highlighted should have actually upset them, should have actually caused them to cry out to God for change, for deliverance. No. What actually was getting their attention was the bureaucracy and bondage of Egypt. Egypt was wanting to build its own empire and its own kingdom. Egypt wanted to be its own god, and we know that the pharaohs were a type of god of their day and were reverenced as a god in that sense. But we note that Israel was not so much complaining about all of that. What they were complaining was the pressure of building such an empire, the pressure. They were under taskmasters, as we're going to read. It was an absolute pressure, and it was that pressure, that bondage, that God got their attention. So let's read it, take it up now in verse 8 of chapter 1, book of Exodus. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Well, there's blessing. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when war occurs, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. So you see, they were fearful because they were multiplying, but they could see they weren't really of their kind. So if there any wars came up, they might join them and try and destroy the Egyptians. You see, that's their thinking. Why? Because the Egyptians wanted to be kingpin. They wanted to build that empire. They wanted to be God on this earth. They wanted all other nations to come under their rulership. A type of Babel again. Therefore, verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasures, cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and bricks and all manner of service in the fields. And their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Of course, historians don't like that. How a lot of what was built was because of the children of Israel in bondage. They don't like to refer to that. I remember when I was in Egypt and we were being taken around and everything, I tried to refer to all of this. Oh, no, that, you know, but I said it's in the Holy Bible. No, it's not in the Quran. You know, so I thought we're about to leave that one. Anyway, verse 15, it goes on, and the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shifra, and the name of the other was Puha. And he said, when ye do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon their stalls, if it be a son, then you shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then shall she live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives. Now, they're just at that point. They're under taskmasters. Here, the hand of God is working. He is preserving a seed. He's preserving life. If God does not preserve life, then how is his name glorified? It's actually logic, really, isn't it? But I want you to note that. And in verse 18, and the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the male children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered before the midwives come in unto them. So God was gracious and merciful. We notice God's hand upon them, so he was preserving them even in childbearing and in labor. So there we got a promise. Sisters who have children, God will bless you. He will preserve you in your labor. There's a promise there. There's a type. Now it's interesting that these midwives spoke the truth. Now it's interesting, most of those pharaohs, those kings, would have just said to them, well, put them to death. They've not done what I commanded. But we notice that didn't happen to them. So God even blessed them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he gave them families. That's why they were preserved, because they saw out of that they feared God as well. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And so there we see bondage starting. They've been brought under taskmasters because they want Egypt to be built at whatever cost. And God is beginning to get their attention. Now, we take it up in chapter 2, verse 23, because there's a lot of this, so I'm just picking it out. In chapter 2, verse 23 of Exodus, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God knew their plight. With fire and the bush was not consumed. He saw their plight. I went forward on that. So there we see a typical scene, children of Israel in bondage, under taskmasters, being pushed to the limit, and they begin to cry out to God, and their cry finally comes before the Lord. I'm becoming more and more increasingly aware that what God was doing there with his chosen, his son, because that's what Israel is called, their release from bondage was because of taskmasters. Is it going to be a type of the same again in this last day? Is that where God is going to get our attention, where he's going to hear that true repentance, that bowing of the knee, because we find ourselves again in the 21st century under bondage this time of a new world order being built, a type of Babylon again being built? Is history going to repeat itself again? I'm beginning to think it is. It's a type. And I'm going to show even more of this. You see, the Bible shows that God protects, he preserves. Because if he doesn't, under this bondage and under these taskmasters, we would compromise. Same with the children of Israel. They would have simply compromised because they hadn't any problem about all the gods and different gods they were serving. They weren't complaining about that. Human nature being like it is, when it's pushed to the limit, under hardship, under toil, under sweat, we will complain. We will cry out. Because it's not what man's supposed to be. He's not supposed to be under those conditions. Remember, when Adam and Eve were created, they were created to till the ground. They were created for relationship with God. It was sin that brought in the thorns and the thistles and the sweat and the labouring. See? So that was part of the curse. And Satan always tries to use the curse to bring bondage upon God's people. When we find that salvation means that we are brought out of the curse, Satan is trying to bring us back under the curse. And that is why we have the deeper life teaching and the faith teaching. Because what God is teaching us, he's bringing us out of the experience of that curse. Now, legally, we are no longer under the curse, for we are redeemed, we are born again. But in our experience, in our everyday living, we still find Adam's sin tries to bring us down, does it not? Whether it be at work, trials at work, or they're pushing you to the limit at work, or whatever it would be, you feel it, you feel the reaction. And that sometimes we just find we've had enough, we snap. We can't take any more. You know? So God knows how to get our attention. He knows how far to allow us to be tried or tested. And we see the same parallel going on with the children of Israel. But look at these taskmasters, how God was using this to bring one of the mightiest and greatest deliverances ever recorded in history. Even though most of our historians wouldn't agree with that, but the fact is it is, that over a million, a whole nation was drawn and taken out of that place and brought into the desert to worship God. That is a miracle. And God did that by the fact that he heard their cries, which I've just shared with you in verse 23. Well, let's carry on with this. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And here it says here, something you know very well, you probably got it underlined. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made you, me, free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ has legally, in salvation and the baptism of the Spirit, has set you free from bondage, from entanglement. Sin entangles one. Sin is like a spider's web. You get more and more caught up in it. Now he says he has delivered you from that, that entanglement. Now in this life we have to start experience in being released, delivered from those bondages, from those entanglements, from those taskmasters. It's called the deeper life in the spirit. It's that doorway that we go through and we go as far as we want in the spirit. And what we don't realize is that in that experience, God is releasing us from these taskmasters. But in order to do that, you have to go through the bondage of it, where God then hears the cries coming forth, then the deliverance starts to take place. Now, why does the enemy work in such a way? We know that he comes like an angel of light. He comes, he's very subtle the way he works. Well, to keep you under taskmasters, keeps you under bondage, keeps you under pressure. But what it really does is it robs you from your true relationship and experience with God. We note that in order for the children of Israel to be released from these taskmasters, they had to physically actually get out, get away. They had to actually go into an experience, into a place where God had prepared, where he was going to meet with them. They had to be separated. And so we see with separation, this sanctification, we're separated unto God. We have to be released from these taskmasters who try to hold us in their bondage, in their corruption, and rob us from our true experience with God. And that's what it does. You say to me, well, I'm still not quite sure what you're on about. Well, let me remind you, because some of you have come over the years and I've experienced it and I've heard it. What a week I've had. It's been terrible at work. I can't do enough. It doesn't matter how much I do, how many hours I do, it still never is enough. Everyone wants it done now, immediately. I'm simply badgered by one person after the other, after the other. The phone never stops. The things I've got to do, does it sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? Of course it does. That's exactly what was going on with the children of Israel. That is the bondage that we find in commerce, in the family life, in education. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything is multiplying. It's becoming more and more complex, complicated. You would have thought with all our technology and computers and everything we've got, you'd have thought it would simplify it, because that's what they led us to believe when they started to introduce all of this. Oh, it'll all be simplified. Don't worry about that. Well, I raise a question. Has it? Is it? I don't think so. And as far as computers go, you want to make sure nothing goes wrong with them. Because 4 hours goes just like that. And what I find so frustrating with those is you've got sometimes nothing to show for it. 4 hours wasted. Yet that's supposed to relieve all bureaucracy, all pressures. It's supposed to be deliverance for us. It's such a lie, isn't it? See? So that is what we're finding ourselves in. And so God knew this, he foresaw this, and so in God's wisdom over the years, what has he been doing with us? Well, he's been getting us now to walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, by walking by faith, you don't have to trust in the arm of the flesh. Because the moment you trust in the arm of the flesh, there is bondage attached to it. Not only is there bondage bondage, but there is control attached to it. And that is what really is behind these taskmasters. They control. They manipulate. And who does that? Well, we know who does that. The devil himself. And that is what he wants to do. He wants to control the church. He wants to control Christians. Oh, he'll let them confess the name of Jesus, but he won't let them experience Jesus. And there's the difference. Well, God is releasing. And that is why he's brought us under the deeper life teaching. He's brought us here to such a place, such an assembly, where we are beginning to experience deliverance from these taskmasters. Well, of course, are these taskmasters, are these pharaohs going to stand back? Well, there you are. You can go. You can go. I've heard what you said, so I'm quite happy to let you go. No, they're not. Hence the battle, the warfare, the deliverance. You see, what sort of bondage do we see today amongst Christians? Well, I'll tell you what we see, and a lot of this is no revelation because God has shown this years ago. Many of you have been delivered from this. But I'll tell you where these taskmasters are. Many of these taskmasters are right in Christian organizations. Subtle. They're like angels of light. They have these organizations. But like any organization, it has to be run. It has to be organized. It has to be financed. And all of that takes time. All of that takes bureaucracy. And all of that puts a bondage upon the people. And what is that bondage? Well, God says you should tithe each week 10%. Now we know that we are to give, period. But it's not 10%. It's all. You're all. You. You're the offering. Romans 12, 1 and 2. But no, they're subtle, you see. And so they can tell by the amount they've got in the congregation and by the fact that they tithe 10%, we have so much money at the end of the month, we know that that can fund and organise this and so on and so on. And the whole thing becomes controlled. And then, of course, they've got to get it registered with Inland Revenue. More control. So that they can get these tax exemptions and so on. And it just goes on and on and on. You cannot get anything of this out in the book of Acts. I challenge. You can't. The church there was the people, and the people moved by the Holy Spirit, wherever the Holy Spirit wanted them to go. And they met in their rooms. They met in the upper rooms. Sometimes they'd meet outside under the stars. And the church just moved wherever the Spirit wanted them. And the ministries. And what have you got today? These huge mega buildings that have all got to be financed, all got to be looked after. I heard not so long ago that the Church of England are getting more and more in the red now. And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because they're trying to restore and keep these old museums that they've got. Because that's all they are. And museum places. Failing to see that the church is the people. Again, taskmasters have done this. They disguise, they deceive. Oh, we'll look after you. We'll provide for you. We'll help your children. We'll give you parenting lessons. We'll provide all that is needed. That's what this country is. And you parents who have children and everything, you find sometimes you're up against those taskmasters because you're wanting to teach your children how to walk by faith. And they won't let you. And they'll always come out with a logic. Yeah, but what if? They've got to be inoculated. Must have that injection. Oof. You know, try to instill fear and so on. So those taskmasters try and stop parents from letting their children experience Jesus and walking by faith. And of course, it's all the same in education. You name it, goes on. You must go to university now today. Well, what's happened to apprenticeships? Aren't they just as good? In fact, we've seen quite a reverse, aren't we? You know, now you try and get a good plumber, try and get a good electrician and so forth. Why are there not so many good ones around? Because we don't have apprenticeships anymore. But they're just as good jobs. In fact, those jobs are actually paying better now than many who come out of universities with all their honours and degrees. How it has changed. But taskmasters have done that. I could just go on and on and on. Bondage. We have a huge problem in this country. It's probably a worldwide thing. But you know, somebody said the other day, I was listening, and a politician said, here we go again, hammering the parents. That's all we're hearing now. It's always parents, their problem. And I thought to myself, well, yes, outwardly, that is a lot of problem, but what has created that problem? That's the problem. That's what it is. What have we actually done to parents, to parenting? We have taken away the common sense of parenting by these taskmasters. That is what's happened. So the whole thing becomes a vicious circle. Blaming this, blaming that, or it is the parents, and yeah, a lot of it is, but never getting to what is the root of the problem, you see. And so we rob young people, young men of skills. They no longer can work with these hands that God has created and made. He can't use his mind anymore. And so because he's a young man, he's got all these youthful lusts and energy and everything, it's got to be taken out on something or someone. Hence violence, drugs, depression. Suicidal amongst men, young men in this country is awful what's happening. It's much more with men than girls. It's taskmasters doing this because Satan wants the new world to be built for his glory. That he can take headship over it. Type of Babylon here. Egypt. Do you hear preachers? Do you hear churches that are interceding, crying out to God because of this bondage, these taskmasters? No, God's getting us still to that place yet, because it ain't hurting yet enough. But it's increasing. And I am convinced that it is those cries, even from us, even from this church, that is going to bring the coming of the Lord first in the clouds for us. That is going to be our deliverance, because God never intended. Do you know why God is going to fight for this? Because this robs God of relationship with his people. And God will fight for that. He'll always fight for it. Whenever relationship is being tampered with by the powers of darkness, you will see then God fight. And that's what he's getting our attention to. And that's why he's been showing us over the years this relationship that we have with him. And as we're growing more and more and with him and experiencing that love and his love for us and our love for him, so the taskmasters try to wedge that, try to get in between that and destroy it. And God says it won't, because he has decreed that the sons of God will come forth. In the last days, a bride will be prepared. God has decreed it. And that is why you are experiencing these things. This is why you are experiencing this bureaucracy that even governments go on and people complain about and want it simplified. Even the Inland Revenue have complained about it. You know, try and simplify our tax system and so on. The point is, it never will be. It can't. It's going to get worse and worse. It's delusional to think that all this bureaucracy, all this mechanization, all this computerization that we have, we can simplify that whole system. We can't, because it's under judgment. And Satan's got to fulfill what he has started. Because he's so blinded, enraged for his glory. But little does he realize, it's destroying. It's destroying the human race. Or it would if God does not preserve. And that is why you and I have been preserved from this. And that is a lot of your overcoming. What, you know, a lot of people, or even churches will say, I don't understand why you get so upset, you know, because, you know, of bureaucracy, or you've gone through a trial, or you missed it and you had to go to the arm of the flesh. It doesn't matter. God works through the arm of the flesh. God works through all the system. See, they're not affected by it, are they? But you are. How do I know? Because you come to me. Or I hear, could you pray about a situation, whatever it is. You come to me because you're tired. You are feeling physically drained by the spirit of this age. Now, why is it you're going through that, and yet a lot of other professing Christians don't seem to go, doesn't seem to bother them so much? Do you know why? Because you're chosen. You're preserved. And God has decreed that that is not going to bring you under bondage. That is why God is getting that cry from you. That repentance from you. That bowing of the knee from you. Because that is the very thing that he's going to deliver us. Some of you are still going through financial battles. And God is using that because you can't break through because of the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy won't let you be blessed unless it decides to let you be blessed. Unless you're a successful banker or whatever it would be. Most of it will hold you in bondage. It will let you live by credit, be in debt, bondage, taskmasters. That's what they want. They want you to live like that. Because they can control you. They can control you eventually with the mark of the beast. But the Holy Spirit working in you, he will not let you bow down to that. And so there's the fight. There's the warfare. And it seems I cannot break through. Some feel they cannot break through in the areas of finance. This seems to have gone on for so long. Well, praise God, that is what's getting your attention. That is the very thing that is going to get you to go up in the rapture. That's the taskmaster trying to hold you. But God has decreed something. And do you know what he's decreed? Let my people go. Hallelujah. That is the revelation of the deeper life. Let my people go. Now, somebody would make a good ministry, wouldn't it? Let my people go ministries. Okay? I've not come across that one yet. Second Timothy, chapter 2. Second Timothy, chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. 3 to 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, and that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And so it goes on. Anyone who's chosen, who's in God's army, does not allow themselves to be entangled in the affairs of this world. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing. That is your deliverance. And that is what the powers of darkness, these taskmasters, try to defy before God. We will entangle them. We will hold them. We will keep them in bondage to this life. They will continue to build this system, this New Age world. Why should they be exempt any different? That's the logic that comes out. We trust in the arm of the flesh. We go to doctors. We go to finances. And we trust all of that. Why should you be so different? That's the logic behind it. That's the accusation. That's what maybe some of your family have alluded to. You think you're so different. Why are they saying that? Because the powers of darkness behind them want you to be held still under these taskmasters. And they don't like that you walk a different walk. It's called jealousy. And there's your persecution. So we see why we don't get entangled. Because it's going to stop us from our relationship. It's also going to stop us from warfare. It's going to stop us from getting into the Word of God. It stops us in prayer. All those things that God constantly brings to our attention to get entangled with the world will stop you from those very things that cause you to spiritually grow. They do. In many ways, this deliverance from these taskmasters is our deliverance from idolatry. Because most of all of this is idolatrous in nature. We're living now in the most idolatrous environment in the 21st century that I think ever has been on planet Earth. So these taskmasters want to keep you in bondage so that you bow the knee to these. That you reverence them. That you depend on them. They're looking after you, so they say. And God says you won't have any other idol. You don't bow your knee down to those idols. So we then become outcasts. And that, of course, is what the Christian faith always is and should be. Is you are outcasts. You are out of the system. You are in the world, but not of it. You are passing through. You are not building your roots in it. That's what we're constantly reminded of. Because our warfare isn't against that. It's against powers, principalities. It is spiritual. But we find at times that these taskmasters seem for a season to get the upper hand. And what is that experience? Well, Lord, I don't seem to get free. This has gone on for so long. This has gone on for years. And yet I still find myself bowing the knee to these dumb idols that try to hold and control me. Praise God, just stay with it, because that was the same thing that God was doing with the children of Israel, he's doing with you. Because God has promised, I will hear your cries. He will hear. He has heard. It's just that right timing. See, the children of Israel to come out of Egypt had to be the right timing. We noticed that their groaning was like a woman in labor. It was increasing. That often is the case. It increases till it gets to such a point that you're just about ready to fold up, crumble under. Then God takes over. And he delivers us by the might of his power and his hand for his glory. And that is how it's going to happen here. So, taking this a step further, what is then our deliverance? I've already exposed this morning these taskmasters. We see a type today that is working. The enemy doesn't change how he works. So what is our deliverance? Well, let's turn back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 to 8. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. That's the verb to be. There's nobody else. I am. And I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Yahweh was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with a great judgment. What a promise. Eh? I will. I will. I will. And I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God, and you shall... Actually, it's I will be to you God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning which I did swear to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. All the while, God is revealing there, I am God. There is no other. God is addressing that to Moses. God is addressing that today. How is he doing it today? He's addressing that to the fivefold ministry that is worked to perfect the church. That is how God has come back in revelation, in ministering, through the baptism of the Spirit, through this message that we're receiving now, through the fivefold ministry. There's the same type of address that was given to Moses. It's the same type that is given in Revelation again today, now in these last days. What for? To deliver us from the bondage of Egypt, these taskmasters. Amen. What a deliverance. And so what is God's decree? Well, I've already said it. Chapter 5, verse 1. And this is the message. And afterwards Moses, Aaron, went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. That is the message. Let my people go. Now, for God's people to be set free, God has to empower that. God has to anoint that. God has to equip that. As it'll never happen. It's just words. But he's doing it. He's even doing it right now as he addresses us. As he speaks to us. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. I know some of you are sitting there right now. And in your mind you are saying, enough is enough. I've had enough of some of this that's going on in my life. And I know what is holding me. I know, because God is revealing it to me. That is your deliverance. That is your change of mind as God is exposing some of these things that still try to hold us under these taskmasters. Now, your deliverance is that you don't tomorrow, after listening to this message, decide to go into work and say, right, I'm finishing my job, I'm leaving. That is not what I'm saying. Please. If God was to do that, then God will do it. He will go before. This message, this teaching is not for you to go out and start to do things rashly. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Some of you may be, I notice you're nodding your head and smiling. You think to yourself, oh, if only I could go in tomorrow and say I'm finishing. If only. But that's not how God is leading. Right, the first area of deliverance, and it's the obvious one, is the fear of these taskmasters. Because the fear of these taskmasters say to you, yes, but what if? What if? And come up with all the logic. What if you don't take that insurance out? What if your house will burn down? Or what if you don't take that loan? You won't have a very good level of living. You won't be able to educate your children. What if you don't take that medicine? You may die. There's the taskmasters. The what ifs. See? There's the bondage. Now, you may still be held in fear by this. And most of us, to be honest, we still are in areas, are held in fear by some of these taskmasters. But God has promised, because he said, let my people go. And if God says, let my people go, then he's got to provide for them. Because it was going to look a sham otherwise. If you let my people go, and they all die, because they're not being provided and looked for, that certainly doesn't give God glory. No. When you find yourself trusting God and not trusting in the arm of the flesh, what you will hear coming out of your mouth, Father, you have brought me to this place. You brought me to this place where I no longer have to depend on these things that I did before, because you have released me. The word of the Lord is, let my people go, and that is for me as well. And you have let me go, and you have brought me out into the wilderness to preserve me, to walk totally by faith, for one thing, that you will receive all the glory of this. And until we come to that place, that want, that desire, we're still going to be subject to some of these taskmasters. We haven't quite arrived yet. And that is why the bride is making herself ready. She's making herself ready so that in what she has achieved, that making herself ready, she will boast in her Lord, this is what God did for me. I could not have made myself ready unless God did this in and through me. Because I'm not capable. Can't do it. You see? So there is our first area of deliverance. The second area, our eyes are open to the control. God again today is opening our eyes yet further in deliverance to seeing where these taskmasters are working. Some of us, if not all of us today, have had our eyes open more to what the powers of darkness are trying to do. So by opening of the eyes, that causes us to see, does it not? And to see means you then walk in the direction that God wants you to walk. You see, if you're blind, you can't walk in the direction of where God's going, because you can't see where he's going. So as he opens your eyes, my eyes, I then can see where God is walking. He's moving. And I can walk with him. I can keep up with him. So that is why God opens our eyes. Satan doesn't like saints' eyes open, because it's a means of them walking and moving with God. Because God moves on. God never stays in one position. That is why I say, you can never stay in one position. Human nature would like to. You can't. You do two things in this walk. You either go back or you go forward. So the opening of the eyes is essential, because these taskmasters will try and keep those blinkers on you. They will. And the third area of deliverance is obvious, but it's confession and repentance. You cannot confess, you cannot repent, unless God shows you. Unless you have come under the conviction of what God has shown and revealed, you can't repent. You can't confess. Now you see, I think some of us, because we've heard much about confession, repentance, I must confess this, I must confess that, and I know God doesn't like that, and off you go and get on your knees and you're confessing and so forth. And yeah, it can have its place, don't get wrong. But my Bible shows me man's not able to confess, repent, unless it's given to him. And that is where you wait again. And you're learning, when God has granted that confession, you're learning that is then a true turning around. That is a true confession because of the fruit that's wrought by it. You're not trying to confess or trying to do it. Because that's trying to be religious, that's trying to be pious. And we've all tried it. We've tried to confess. We've tried to be humble before God. Can't do it. The Holy Spirit has to work it. And eyes have to be open in order to see that. Otherwise, those taskmasters would just keep you under a false, delusional state. These taskmasters are quite happy for you to be religious. Of course they are. It was amazing, actually, in the times of Pharaoh. And I remember when I was in Egypt, the courier brought this out. He said, actually, under that regime, he said they were quite tolerant of religions and gods, actually. As long as Pharaoh was kingpin, he was God, that was fine. But, you know, they were quite tolerant all of other gods. And it reminded me of the Roman Empire, which is built in the last day. Rome was actually quite tolerant of religion, as long as it didn't try to reveal its power or try to take over the Rome or the Roman armies and so on. But it was reasonably tolerant in that sense. And we're seeing a degree of tolerance today. You can be a Muslim in this country today, as long as you're not radical. You can be a Christian in this country, as long as you're not fanatical. So there's this degree of tolerance, and it's called I'm trying to think of the word that we call it, not democracy, where it's a free state, free speech. What's the word we call for it when we're in a country of free speech, free state? It's a free democracy, freedom of speech. That's what I'm looking for. So that is upheld. That is why we vote for a party who will take over the country, but will defend freedom of speech, and so on. Well, it's only free to a certain extent. It's freedom to the extent that it tolerates religions. And that's what it is. That's what we will find in this last day. So taskmasters will let you be religious, but taskmasters won't let you experience a relationship with God, walking as a disciple. Because they know that God has decreed, let my people go. And that means that you are separated from that. You no longer are to be held by that. Live that way. Live like the world. Act like the world and so on. You are a peculiar people set apart unto God. No, they won't tolerate that. Because they can't control you. You see? That is why we're in many ways seeing almost the epitome of control in this last generation. You know, even psychologists and psychiatrists are aware now of control. They're aware that marriages very often don't always work because one of the partners wants to control, to dominate. And so we see in families sometimes even children trying to control, dominate the parents. It's all coming out now. This control is what this spirit is, the spirit of this age. It's witchcraft, you know? Well, finally, what is our deliverance? In our deliverance, we are coming to a place where by faith we know without a shadow of a doubt, God will supply. God will provide. God will heal me. God will hear me. God will bless, answer those promises that he's been feeding me with all these years for his glory. That is what he's doing. And again, taskmasters don't want you to experience that because you're no longer dependent upon them anymore. You see? So this is a tremendous deliverance now as I bring this to a close. What God is doing and achieving. Not by might, nor by power. It is by the Spirit of the living God. Why? Because God has decreed and always has for a remnant, his chosen, let my people go. He will not have us held in idolatry. He will not let us be held in bondage, in fear, relying upon the state. You are going to be a people walking totally by faith, trusting God. As I've said, take it before God. Start to intercede. Pray where areas have been exposed today. Wait on God for that deliverance. Wait, because what has got to take place, the warfare is, because Moses had to go back quite a few times to Pharaoh. And there's the warfare. Pharaoh was not about to let the children of Israel go. He lied, he schemed. He was a very devil incarnate. He was clever, manipulative. But it took one final thing, and that was the slaying of all the elder boys. And even then, we know the story, when they then were released, they start to go out. And then the armies of Pharaoh chase after them. And then they said, but we thought we were delivered. I thought I got my healing. I thought I got that money. What's gone wrong? All it is just Pharaoh trying to catch up. And what did Moses say? Here's the rod, keep going forward. Can't go forward. We're stuck. Then use that rod, smite the sea, it'll part. Sounds familiar? It's a battle all the way. Pharaoh's right on our tail. Those taskmasters are right on our tail. The point is, God has decreed. Settle it. He has said, you are going. You are free. He has said it. All he wants you is to believe it. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Yeah, but, you know, Pharaoh just won't let me go. Well, who is he? He thinks he's God. But I'm greater. Everyone in this room and everyone who believes that they're part of the bride of Christ, first fruits, overcomers, you have that rod of authority in your hand. You've got it. It's there. The enemy just doesn't want you to see it or use it. That's why. But that was deliverance for the children of Israel. And many times God made Moses use that. He wasn't always as diligent as he should be in using it. Well, what's that in your hand? And God says exactly the same. What have I given you? Now use it. And what has he given you? That name above all names, the name of Jesus. That is your rod of authority. Taskmasters of the 21st century, they're still around, they're still alive, and they're still working. But we're on the way out. We're no longer going to be held anymore by them.